Welcome to Stephen's True Crime Commentary. Discussions of forensics, how it's done, and true crime interest.
Welcome back to Stephen's True Crime Commentary, and as usual, I am Stephen David Lampley. All right, what I have for you today is pretty interesting, at least I think so, and most others do. We're going to talk about glitter and pollen as evidence. Now, this is a lot more involved than you may possibly realize, so let's get started with this. Now, before we actually get into the glitter and pollen, let me go over with you a forensic principle called Lockhart's principle. Lockhart's principle basically states that a criminal will bring something to the crime scene and will take something away from the crime scene. For instance, a criminal may come to the crime scene, leave a thumbprint, hair, or something on the scene, and the criminal may leave the crime scene and leave with fiber on their body. So they're going to bring something to the crime scene. They will leave with something from the crime scene. Now, let's talk about glitter first. Glitter is entirely man-made from plastic or foil, and it can be multi-layered. Glitter is usually cut into very tiny pieces, usually cut into hexagons, squares, or rectangles. And the reason for that is that those shapes will allow the glitter manufacturer to use all of the glitter sheet to manufacture glitter. In other words, there's no waste. Everything goes to manufacture glitter. Now, the hexagon cuts are the most common cuts, followed by square. Usually, if you're looking at glitter on your finger or on a table or something, usually the glitter is tiny enough that without some visual aid, a microscope or something, you typically can't tell the shape of it by looking at it. You just tell that it glistens. All right, now glitter begins as mica, and then color and sparkle are added with titanium dioxide. There may also be bismuth oxychloride or iron oxide coatings, which may also be applied. All right, glitter is found in almost all cosmetics. Now, there's very few glitter manufacturers across the world, and they exist in, let's see here, China, Korea, Taiwan, there's Pakistan, Germany, India, and of course the United States. Now, glitter can come in over 40 colors. 44, I think, is the most colors that one manufacturer makes. And the sizes range from about 50 microns to 1/4 inch in size. Glitter is extremely traceable. Even the cuts that are made on the glitter can vary from manufacturer to manufacturer. In other words, there have been cases where the glitter was manufactured and it was cut, even the smallest of pieces, and because the glitter cutting is so different but from manufacturer to manufacturer, they can tell which manufacturer made that glitter particle simply by the cut that's on it. Now, glitter is searchable in a database that's available to detectives where they can, when they come up with the evidence and they have the colors and the makeup of the glitter, they can search and see who actually manufactured that glitter, and it will pop up and tell them. Glitter is environmentally durable, and for instance, it has been found in a vehicle's carpet years after the case, and it was still traceable. Glitter is an excellent trace evidence substance. It sticks and it does not come off easily. All right, let's talk about pollen for a moment. Pollen is not limited to flowers. Seems like a lot of people think, oh, pollen comes from flowers. Pollen comes from more than flowers, trees, bushes, shrubs, grass. So it's not limited to flowers. Pollen can measure 20 micrometers or 1/50th of a millimeter. It's very, very small. Pollen is also very diverse, and it comes in different shapes, it comes in different sizes, and it comes in different colors. It is possible to look at a pollen particle and tell the species of plant that it came from. There are so many different varieties, it's easy to pick the plant, the species that it came from. Each, now this is going to be interesting, each environmental habitat has different plants and different and a different pollen signature. Now follow me closely here. By the proportions or the pollen combinations, in other words, by the pollen amount produced or the pollen combinations from the different plants in that area, one can tell exactly where that pollen particle came from, what area. This is what you call pollen forensics. Now, one thing about pollen is that it can remain on clothing even after it has been washed. Pollen found in a murder suspect's clothing can be used to identify the area it came from, and then in an area small enough that a cadaver dog can be brought into and locate the victim. Glitter and pollen are tremendous, tremendous trace evidence substances. All right, our time's up. I do hope that you were able to take something away from this commentary. I want to thank you for joining me, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning into Stephen's True Crime Commentary, heard across America. You are invited to visit Stephen's website for information on his books, speaking dates, and speaking programs like How to Catch a Liar. In this seminar, Stephen explains some of the very same techniques police detectives use to help them determine if someone is lying. You will learn such things as global versus individual indicators, use of contractions, voice tone, eye shift, evasion, allusion, pronoun usage, question pause, base shift, and much more. Go to StephenDavidLampley.com for information on this seminar and much more.
Stephen's True Crime Commentary is a production of Something Weird Media and West 53rd Productions, with music by JasonLampley.com.